Okay, let's do this then.
Okay, all right, here we go. Hello and welcome to Dot Dot Doc. I'm Ian, your host, and today I'm joined by Emma.
Hello!
Today we're going to be talking about the Oscar-winning 2017 documentary Icarus by Brian Fogel. Firstly, I want to say sorry for not watching this sooner. You told me about this documentary like last year, and it took me about 5 months to watch it, to get around to watching it. I know you was raving about it, saying it was like unbelievable, like, and you were surprised that I haven't seen it. So I'm glad that I finally like stopped scrolling on Netflix and just got on with it and clicked play and just, you know, watched it. It's incredible. I thought it was an unbelievable documentary, and I don't know, it's just, it's something I thought I wouldn't be interested in, but it's just, yeah, it just blew me away. I love the journey, I love everything about it. What brought you to this doc? Did you discover it on Netflix one day, or?
So first of all, yeah, thanks for not listening to me for about a half a year at least. I value your opinion as well. I love this documentary so much. I can't remember how I first saw it, but I think perhaps it was something to do with just a release in a shop that my ex was working in.
Ah, maybe. Okay.
But I can't remember now the precise details. But I thought, I've watched this documentary quite a few times now because I really enjoy it, and I make all of my friends watch it, and sometimes I make them watch it in front of me as well. So I'll be like, I'll keep people hostage to make sure that they understand the message. And it's really interesting to watch other people watch it as well, because the obviously it's such an unexpected journey that this documentary takes you on, which I love. But also it starts in a quite dubious way, doesn't it? It's kind of starting this journey of a guy trying to cheat. So it's quite hard for people to get into it in the beginning. It's like, oh, wow, this guy is like not a very nice guy, actually. He's just trying to find a way to cheat this competition. What's going to come out of it?
Yeah, I mean, it feels like the documentary, I know that the documentary starts as like one particular thing. It has one aim, to basically him to start doping, to it, to show how easy it is to start doping and, you know, win these races. But like, then it obviously takes a major turn, and I feel like when it comes up to the, how was it, Hout route, I think it's pronounced. When he, like, 1 year he's, he finishes 14th in the race, and then, like, the bit where he, you know, after he starts doping again, and he finishes, like, 27th, like, after doping for, like, months and being, trained and that was, I feel like that's where it kind of changes where it was going, because it just, I had a feeling that the way it was going to go, because my prediction for when I was watching the documentary was like, oh, it's going to show him winning races, like small races, and then like bigger races, and then him winning like, you know, like these major ones and stuff. And then he's going to come out and go, oh, by the way, I was doping. But no, it wasn't like that. And it kind of just, I mean, there's a few documentaries that have like these major impacts on like on the world. I mean, like, but the fallout from this documentary, this was like a game changer, wasn't it? It was just, it had a major effect on the sporting world altogether, like not just the Olympics, but like just every sport. Like, it's just because, and it makes you think, like, these, the athletes that lost out to people who were doping, it's just, it's kind of the what if, you know, because if let's say if you was an Olympian and you got the second place or whatever, or you didn't place, you know, you placed just below third or something, and you like lost out on that medal, then, you know, you might have lost like sponsorship, you might have lost all kinds of things. It might have like completely wrecked your life not like winning at that particular time, or yeah, it's crazy. And yeah, I just feel like it's an unbelievable documentary
I found it incredible that he didn't improve. So there's loads of twists in this documentary, which is why I love about it. But
do you think it was because of his bike? His bike messes up, doesn't it? And he falls 10 places, like in the race.
At one stage, yeah, but he wasn't that incredible because of doping. So he's been doping for a long time then, like months and months. He's been getting advice from this Russian guy, Rodchenkov,
yeah.
Who is in himself, like an incredible, like amazing find. I cannot believe, when I was first watching, I was like, I cannot believe this guy is just like so openly giving him all of this advice, you know. He's just like been recommended to him by a friend, and then suddenly he's like, yeah, I mean, I work for the Russian Olympic teams. This is what you have to do. You weigh this much, you have to take this, you know, injection. It's crazy. It's like, wow, this is too easy almost. But it's interesting that he does not improve enough. He doesn't actually win any of the competitions because he's doped up. And it does, even if everyone in the world of Olympic sport is doping, it proves that still you have to have a baseline. It's not that you can have, in a way, it proves that you cannot be just doping. You know, you can't be shit at that and then dope and be like, wow, I'm now an Olympian, guys. It doesn't work like that, unfortunately. That's my career over, but
nah.
What can you do?
No, I mean, that was interesting how Rodchenkov, sorry, I've been trying to remember how to pronounce the name all day. I really liked how open he was. I love how every time he seemed to be speaking on the cam, he had his shirt off. That was like a common thing. He always had his shirt off in his house, just speaking in like to Brian. Going back to the doping thing, I was really surprised that they show like him injecting himself. He was like bleeding. He was like injecting it into his like leg, and how it was, I don't know. It was just insane how much they went into, you know, the doping side of, it was, the whole thing is about doping. But I was really surprised that they show, you know, like the actual injections and whatnot. I liked their use of 1984 as a parallel for this whole documentary as well, where like it mentions like Doublethink, obviously because it was Rodchenkov's like favorite book, like he's like carrying it around with him, like his you know little Bible kind of thing. He's just reading it constantly. And I listened to an interview with the director, and he basically said that when the editor was like cutting the film, because he had like multiple editors coming in, he said that, have you read 1984 to Brian? Like one of the editors said that. And he was like, yeah, back in high school. And like, he's like, oh no, take a look at it again, because Rodchenkov like constantly references 1984 from, you know, day one of them talking to all the way through. And then they realized that was a perfect parallel for the documentary, like having, you know, the three stages of the three parts in it. So
I guess watching it as well, you know, it's interesting, but it does make you think that Brian is actually a really lucky motherfucker, because he stumbled upon an amazing story. His story that he originally set out to do, I'm assuming, just doping and seeing whether he could be better at cycling, would be so boring compared to what actually happened. how he uncovered this massive Rodchenko story.
I mean, I think it wouldn't have, I don't know if it would have as much impact if it went the original route, but I know that he originally when he was trying to get finance, like really struggling to get finance for this film, he kind of said that he basically wanted to do a supersized me of the sporting world, of the doping world, and like that was the route it was going to go. It was going to be like, oh, I'm going to dope and I'm going to track my progress and that. And I think, do you think it would have won an Oscar if it carried on that way, or?
Definitely not. Like he fails basically. He fails on his route, doesn't he? And Rodchenko is such a charismatic, amazing figure in himself. And he does paint this tragic story of, being this tragic character. So he does draw this parallel to the book that is his own narrative of his own life that perhaps is a bit unfounded. You know, it is his tale to tell, but at the same time, it's not. He is romanticizing himself through the process. He does become a tragic hero of his own story, even though that, you know, he's worked for the Russian government. He's worked in the Olympics. He has cheated to a grandiose level. And yet he manages to portray himself as this tragic, poor guy that you feel sorry for. You do. You want him to be okay at the end of the day.
I mean, it's not a happy ending overall when you think about it, because he's like in witness protection. He can't really stroll about and stuff in public. I don't know where, obviously nobody knows where he is now, but I really, I just can't imagine him being like, I don't know, in Texas wearing like a cowboy hat with like a heavy Russian accent, like Tash shaved off and like nobody noticing, because I just feel it's sad that obviously he's probably living like a solitary kind of life now, because at the end of the documentary you see him it shows like a animated bit where it shows you him in like a prison cell, and I mean that is essentially his life now. He is, even though he's not dead, which is a great thing, you know, because if he was in Russia he would surely be killed in a mysterious way. He must be living like a super solitary life now, because if the Russian government found him or took him back in any way, it'd be the end for him, for sure.
Yeah, but equally have a think about the fact whether they would care enough, because why wouldn't they find him? You know, it's not, the Russian government is not clueless. It's not like, oh, Americans have hidden him in the US. Oh my God, how am I going to find him? I don't know. No. But the fact that you feel like that about him, you know, you feel sad that he's on his own, proves that he's managed to portray himself in a way that evokes that emotion. Because when you think about it, he's not a victim of any of this. He has been fundamental in so much wrongdoing throughout the history of Olympics, of the Olympics. And if he was living in a normal country, so if he was a British guy, for example, he would be in prison right now for the rest, you know, for a long, long, long time. And he's charismatic and interesting and enjoyable to watch. And that's why you feel sorry for him. But at the end of the day, he is not a good guy. He isn't, you know, let's not forget that he has orchestrated all of this cheating. He's orchestrated the whole thing of all of the athletes being, you know, doping, changing of the samples and so on. So it's not, he isn't really a person you should be feeling sorry for. He is.
Why do you reckon he come clean in the end? Why do you reckon he actually went along with the documentary and, revealed all the stuff? Because he could have just, I don't know. Do you reckon it's because he was being investigated at this point and he thought this was his way out? Because I'd say the second half of the documentary is kind of like trying to get him out of Russia, making sure he's safe. And, you know, he's seen this as like his out. Do you reckon that's the reason why he come clean?
100%. I do. And, you know, he's And that's why I think that he's painting this picture of being a prisoner or and double thing, and he's painting a picture of someone who's been brainwashed, essentially, to believe that this is the right thing to do for your country, which it does encourage on bullshit for me, from him especially. But yeah, no, I think that's... I was really surprised in the beginning of the documentary, so I was already thinking, like, what's this guy's motivation? If he's so high up in the structure to be in charge of the Olympics, why would he just reveal everything to this random guy, you know? Because he wasn't paying him or anything. It wasn't like, oh, here's $1 million, tell me all his secrets. It wasn't like that at all. It was just... Hi, I'm making this documentary. Can you tell me how much I should dope every day? He's like, oh, Brian, yes, of course. This is... Come to my office. I'm going to tell you everything. And because I'm foreign, I can make jokes like that, mate. Like, never try.
Yeah, I did think it was... I did think he seen that as his way out. It was like his way, with you know, to be connected to... people who could hide him, make all the problems going away. Because I imagine he was in deep shit at this point anyway. Like, because it wasn't that, as you said, like, it wasn't that far into the documentary where it was like, the World Anti-Doping Association was, like, investigating him. It's, you know, like, he was the director of Russia's National Anti-Doping Lab, which kind of seemed just... meaningless, like, you know, this is how we can find out if anything's been doping. It's like obviously going to be someone in charge of, you know, you go to the highest person of that lab. And I guess when his co-worker got mysteriously died of a heart attack.
That was bad.
But yeah, it was... yeah, crazy. It was crazy. But I think it was such a slick documentary. I remember, like, seeing the bit where it shows you him going around the Hout route. And I was thinking, that's insane. Like, going... like, for how far... it's practically up a mountain when they're going around. I'm just, like, looking at this and just, like, blown away by, like, you know, these athletes just going around, you know, these mountains and stuff on the bikes and stuff. And it's just like, what? It's... you know, like, in these, he was like the 14th of, like, when he first won. I was like really surprised by that, but I did find out through this podcast, which is on Netflix, you can listen to, and it basically said that he cycled when he was like 20, but then he stopped for a long time after that. So it wasn't like he was a professional cyclist for a long time. It's more like a kind of like a hobby, and it was only after Lance Armstrong and stuff, it all coming out, that he really, you know, he just decided to do this documentary and realized, oh, I could do something here. You know, he wasn't, imagine the first time when he won, well, didn't win, when he had become 14th, it was like a fair gap between him and him doping and doing the route doping wise. But yeah.
I think that it's an interesting point about the doping thing, because I've watched the Lance Armstrong documentary as well. About all of his teammates coming clean. And it did make me think that, one, everyone's doping. And two, especially on Brian's example, it's like it isn't a catch-all solution. If you're an amazing athlete already and it gives you an edge, basically, it can push you through that last hurdle. But if you're a bit shit, it's not going to make you an Olympian from nowhere.
So you're saying that if I started doping today, there's not much chance of me winning, like, the Tour de France, like, anytime soon, no? Or winning any kind of race against anybody.
I would be very interested to see how the doping journey starts for you. document it so that see what happens.
Right. I think you would have to be an amazing athlete already to really, you know, benefit from it. You would have to be in, like, the top couple of places anyway when you, like, you know, you must, you know, if you finish third and you started doping for the next year, you probably would win, wouldn't you? So give you that little bit of edge, but you'd have to be an amazing athlete anyway to really gain any kind of benefit from it, I think.
Totally. Totally that.
Yeah. I just, I thought it was insane, though, like, about how towards the end of the documentary it says that even though the, you know, the Rio Olympics went ahead, but what was it, 278 Russian athletes were allowed to participate still, and only 111 were not allowed because they found to be doping, which I thought was crazy, because I don't know, because they wanted it to be like a full-on out, all-out ban, didn't they? And I see that the Paralympics completely ban all Russian from there. They kind of upheld it.
I mean, you know, you kind of watch it as well, and you see how meaningless these international bodies are, considering that there was a Winter Olympics in Russia then following on to that. So it seems a bit of a, like an empty gesture to ban Russian athletes from competing. And I do question as well, why would that be an appropriate way to go for? Because obviously, like, WADA was based in Russia, and it's kind of hilarious to sort of listen to Grigory go through his journey of, yes, this is fine, this is totally fine. We had like the lab was here, and then the samples go through here, and we had like a secret entrance through here. So it's all cool, it's all fine. But it's funny, obviously. But I think that it does make, you know, all of these Olympic international bodies look stupid, basically, when you watch them then react to it and be like, I never guessed that this is what's happening. It's like, oh, you're a bunch of idiots then, clearly.
Well, I mean, they just kind of assumed it was just impossible. They kind of were surprised that this could be this happening like that. The bottle, you know, the bottle cap thing, they thought that was like untamperable and stuff. And I do think it's kind of like almost cartoonish where they can just pass it through like a little hole in the wall, like to empty out the old, like the dirty urine, and then like fill it with clean urine and stuff like that. It's just, I think up until Lance Armstrong, like, coming out that he'd been doping, and because he got like, you know, it's on record, wasn't he? Like, he got tested like over like 500 times, and it was like any time of the day, all that kind of stuff. And it was, you know, like he'd always pass. But I mean, it makes you think it's not just cornering him and saying like, hey, piss in this bottle. Like, you know, there must be something along the lines that helps out other than just, you know, him. It's not just like him carrying around like some urine or something on him, but
I mean, when I watched the Lance Armstrong documentary, it was amazing to hear how the process actually works, because they were kind of recycling his blood, you know, to get it more oxygenated and to give the body more energy through that. So that's insane to think about. You know, he was getting like blood transfusions all the time just to nourish his body in that way.
Oh wow. I haven't seen the Lance Armstrong documentary.
Oh, sorry. Spoiler.
No, it's fine. You can't be spoilers and stuff. I mean, yeah, I did hear about that. That is like, yeah, that is a thing they use. They, you know, recycle your blood pretty much. But I don't know. It's just, I was blown away by this doc. I thought it's such a slick documentary altogether. And you're right, like, Brian Fogel struck gold on this documentary. I know that, like, before this, he was kind of like, in an interview, I heard him say that before this, it was kind of like he had a successful play that he was involved in, which was called Jutopia. And, like, I know that he made a film based on that play, and then it kind of just fell to pieces, I think. And then after that, he was kind of like in a funk about what to do, and it was like he finally fell into this, which is just unbelievable. This is kind of like just you know, how incredible was this, like, you know, the subject, you know, it's just such a journey. And you can, what's the beauty of it is you can see the journey in the film in terms of you can see where what it was and how it turned out, like, in that sense. And I just think it's, yeah, just incredible overall.
I think it's interesting because, you know, it was setting out to be like an annoying documentary journey where the documentary maker is being the subject as well, which is always a bit lame, basically. So he was setting out to be, oh, this is all about me. I'm going to cycle around and I'm going to be better because I'm going to dope, basically. And this is going to be the proof that doping is the future. And that's how all of the big guns are getting there. But actually it turned out that, one, doping is not the future. He's still a bit rubbish, to be honest. It's like, probably should have found a different career otherwise. And he's just struck gold with this amazing, charismatic caricature of a fucking person, basically. It's like Grigory Rodchenkov is incredible. He's just, you know, you could watch him all day, be on Zoom with his dogs, doing unsolicited things all to him all day. Basically.
With his shirt off and his like camera kind of like half across his eye.
Yeah, you know, man. It's like he's amazing, basically. And I think that Brian then takes, he's just a second-rate character. From the beginning, he was just like, yeah, this is all about me, man. You know, I'm gonna make a documentary about me and how I'm gonna be cycling about, to just being a second-rate character and yeah, and then representing him in court, like, eventually. So
I mean, I didn't find him like that so much. I mean, I didn't think it was kind of like a me kind of like a show when it comes to stuff. I mean, I thought it, I mean, I've seen loads of documentaries where it's like they have the director as the main person in the documentary. Like, look at, I mean, if you compare it to Super Size Me, where it's kind of, it is, I don't know, I can see that it's kind of like, oh, it's a me vehicle kind of thing. But for this, I do feel like it's, I didn't find it annoying. I thought he was like, I feel like he was genuine overall when he came across. I do feel like there was a massive spanner in the works when he didn't place better or win that race that he did. I feel like that's where the whole documentary could have just crumbled at that point, couldn't it have? Until Rodchenkov come along and said, hey, you know, like, and there's a next floor to this, you know, come to Russia and see where, you know, how deep this rabbit hole goes. I personally liked Brian in this. I thought, I didn't find him annoying, like, I guess you might have found him, but I must admit, yeah, definitely Rodchenkov was a hell of a character. Like, he was, they definitely found the right person to be in the documentary when it comes to that. He just had so much personality. So
he found them as well, I think, you know.
Yeah.
As we have established, it's like, it's not a coincidence that he accidentally just started talking to someone and started to plan this idea of having a safe space in the US. It's not a coincidence at all. I love Rodchenko so much because he's such a great character. It's almost, you know, you couldn't dream of interviewing anyone better than him in a way. He's so, has so much character. He's so vibrant, and he paints such an interesting picture of himself that has nothing to do with the truth as well, which I particularly enjoy. It's like this whole, you know, narrative that you mentioned around George Orwell's book and doublethink and indoctrination, and, you know, how his thinking would have changed, is absolute bullshit, because he would have been fundamental in creating all of these narratives in Russia. So it's really, really interesting to see how he's trying to get out of it and be like, oh no, you know, this is just the thinking that I've been put upon, and now I can't do anything about it. But that's completely untrue. He's been so high level all throughout the process. It's just incredible to hear him even.
I really thought that he would be killed in this documentary. I really thought that was going to be the end of the documentary. He was going to be, it would come up and say, Rodchenkov was it like assassinated or mysteriously died or whatever. And I thought it was going to be like that. I didn't really think it would be him going into witness protection. I just thought for the last half of the documentary, it'd be like them leaking this and then him being like mysteriously killed. And then it was going to be, you know, a whole thing behind that. And it's going to be like a big mystery. But I was glad like he didn't die in the end, which was good. And I also see that he went on to write a book during his, witness protection. He wrote The Rodchenkov Affair, I think it was.
Yeah.
And it won, was it William Hill's Sports Book of the Year or something? Did I write that down? I see that, because he, like, won £30,000, like a £30,000 award, and his book to be, like, leather-bound and give it to him and stuff, but he couldn't accept it because he's in witness protection and, you know, nobody knows where he is and he, you know, he can't associate with his old life anymore. So
it's really funny, though, as well, because the subtitle of the book is How I Brought Down Putin's Secret Doping Empire. That I created myself should have been another subtitle for that. But I think that, you know, he's exciting, but a little bit meaningless as well. I think that it would be really shocking if he got shot down, if he got assassinated by Russians. That would be really, dubious. Basically, because he's just a bit of a joke. He's a bit of a clown, basically. And everyone knows about him. And he's already revealed all his secrets. So what's the point, almost, of killing him now? He's got nothing to show for it, in a way. But, yeah, you know.
Because, I mean, I guess he dishonored them and stuff. Like, you know, he kind of come out and, you know, said all these things.
Rumor about this whole documentary is that Putin felt really, really embarrassed. Not personally, but just like this is like an embarrassing feature about the Sochi Olympics and about Olympics in general and people not being allowed to compete in Rio and so on. And that's why Russians have spent so much money to get Trump elected so that Americans can suffer.
Yeah, what is that, like a big rumor about the about the thing altogether? Huh.
Yeah, so that's my favorite rumor about the whole thing. It's like, oh, you've hurt my pride on the Olympics. You're gonna have a ginger man, orange monster rule your country for 4 years. So funny.
Well, yeah, I don't know. I mean, that seems kind of a bit out of the box, doesn't it? That's kind of a bit crazy. But, I mean, like, you see that in the documentary, they hack into Brian's emails and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, like, they have all the pictures and stuff of him and Rodchenkov and stuff on the Russian, like, news, like, saying about the whole the documentary. And they're like, was it Putin's like, oh, that's just nonsense, despite all this evidence constantly coming out? Was it, like, 1,666, like, documents proving it happened? But he's like, nah. Didn't happen.
Russia, mate.
But I just thought, yeah, awesome documentary. I've watched it twice now. Thought it was a game changer, and I love reading about what's happened since. I just find it mind-blowing overall. And I see that Russia is banned from the Tokyo Olympics, like, if that ever happens. And also, was it the World Cup as well? The World Cup in 2022? They're not allowed to participate anymore.
I mean, I don't know how I feel about that. They're trying to punish them, obviously, but it's a bit of an empty gesture because obviously the cycle will just continue after that. And is it really fair to penalize young people who are just, you know, trying to be good in sports?
No, as well. I mean, I know what you mean. Like, just because, you know, you might see, oh, if I'm Russian, I can't represent my country because there's the whole doping scandal. It's kind of, you know, has it burnt the Russian Olympians for, you know, or even any sports sportsmen in Russia for, like, you know, years and years to come, just because of, like, this state-sponsored doping thing. It's, yeah, I don't know. It's, yeah, I do think it's unfair in that sense. Like, I mean, but I did see that people, like, you can still participate in the Olympics but you can't do it under the Russian flag. Yeah, like, you can represent yourself. You can still do it for yourself, represent yourself, which they're still allowed to do that. So that's good. But I see, was it like a 3 or 4 year ban? And that was in, I think the article was from like 2018. So, like, if all this gets pushed back, it wouldn't make any difference anyway. So,
that's true.
But yeah, crazy.
Anyway. I mean, and also, you know, what do you think about the title of the whole thing? Because it's based on this Greek myth that I actually quite enjoy. Icarus, you know, getting too close to the sun, getting burnt and falling. Who do you think does it refers to? Like, why did they go for that title?
I think, I think it goes to, you know, for Rodchenkov and stuff. I think it's him. I don't think it refers to Brian. I mean, what do you think?
I don't know, but I just feel like, you know, we have to be really careful about feeling so sorry for Rodchenkov, because at the end of the day, if he stayed on, he would have to go to jail. So he's no hero, basically. You know, the fact that he has spoken on this issue, it was only to save himself. There's no heroic attempt from him, really. He's in the US in hiding at the moment, but that's probably a fantastic result for him in a way, because considering what he has actually done, he does not deserve to be in that privileged situation to just be living in Texas somewhere, perhaps, you know, having delicious I don't know, Texan treats every day.
I don't think it probably is in Texas, but Texas, who knows? But it could be anywhere. But
it's Texas. Find him, Vladimir. It's in Texas. Go.
No, I don't know. I mean, but the thing is, despite what he did, despite him being kind of the engineer of the whole thing, and it's like his methods and stuff that put, you know, Russia put these gold medals in, like, in these Russian hands and stuff. I've lost my train of thought here. It's the end.
I think that, you know, there's two things about that. So one thing is that, okay, this, the whole story about how he unveils how the Olympics were rigged is insane to hear about. It's insane. About hearing about, you know, the swapping of the pee, blah, whatever, and the labs and everything. It's insane to hear about. But in a way, after hearing Brian's story, it makes you think, well, that wouldn't have made massive difference anyway. Because, and especially if you watch the Lance Armstrong documentary, you are under an impression that everyone's doping. Everyone's using this stuff. So it doesn't, and watching, you know, Brian's example, it doesn't really matter. Unless you're amazing, it will not help you anyway. As we said, if we started doping tomorrow, we'll just have another problem to deal with. But we wouldn't be winning any competitions.
Yeah. I mean, I've finally found my train of thought. My train of thought was do you reckon that, despite all the stuff that he done to set this all up, do you reckon that him exposing this truth redeems him in any way?
Absolutely not. We wouldn't be so excited about him if he wasn't such a charismatic, exciting, you know, character. If he was a boring Bob, would be probably really disappointed with him, going, this is really bad. You know, disappointing Bob is not changing the situation. He's just a really likable guy, and you can't help but love him in a way and root for him and hope that he's okay, and that I hope that he has his dog's bag and his wife can find him somewhere in definitely Texas.
Do you reckon they're together? Do you reckon, like, I don't think his wife has been like, you know, oh no, because at the end of the documentary it says that they take away his daughter's and his wife's like passports, so they can't leave the country, and they also take all of his assets as well, don't they? They take this, like, Russia just takes it all away after that. So I imagine he's just alone now without his wife.
In a way, it's like it's only fair, no? It's like he's a defected to a different country, and he, you know, don't forget that he has been a man in a very prime position and in Russia, probably with considerable wealth throughout this process. And he probably felt, my time is coming to an end now, guys. There's this American guy that wants to talk to me. How can I possibly make it a win for me? So yeah, but I don't know. I don't know how, like, you know, these systems work. Hope that maybe his wife can see him if she wants to.
I don't know. Imagine, like, her just zooming with him is out of the question. I mean, like, if they can hack into email, they can definitely find out where he is from, like, a Zoom sesh or something. It's just
Zoom.
There's no way. Like, they, you know, he's. I feel sorry. You know, like, obviously
somewhere on Zoom right now, probably living his life in Texas.
In Texas. No, lastly, I just wanted to say that I looked into what happens with like all the people who got disqualified, like all their gold medals. I found out that there's a whole process of reallocating the gold medals back to the people who should have won it. And it's not guaranteed. So even if the person above you was disqualified, it's not like automatic you get a gold medal. It's based on, was it the Olympics, like the Olympics committee, like they basically assess it case by case basis. And there's a good chance that, you know, like also the form, the athlete who did lost the gold medal has to return it to them. It said, like, out of the eight, was it, where is it? There was, they said, like, something like they asked like eight Russian athletes who got disqualified for the medals back, and only three of them had sent it back in the end, like, so far. But I just, like, there were some people that were, like, you know, these athletes and stuff from, you know, different countries, and that they were, like, walking around, say, just doing their shopping and stuff, and, like, all of a sudden they got, like, a message saying, oh yeah, you're an Olympic gold medalist now. So it's, there's, like, loads of, like, cases on, like, on Twitter where it shows you, like, someone was like, oh, you know, I was just, like, literally running through the park, and then it just got a notification saying, oh, congratulations, you're Olympic gold medalist. So I just feel like it's, insane that it's still case-by-case basis, you know what I mean? As in, they can't just be like, oh, well, you were, like, 2 seconds behind this guy. Apparently it's, like, a hell of a process. To assess, you know, to make sure that they weren't doping as well. And
I think that's insane. I mean, as I said before, kind of, I feel that the actual, you know, sportsmen and women are victims of the situation, that maybe it's not entirely fair on them. That's just really unfortunate, I guess, for them to have to deal with it. But especially that when you think about people in charge, I mean, for me, especially that moment in documentary when they're talking to people on the Olympics committee that have been visiting Russia, for example, and looking through the lab and stuff. I think it was a woman, I can't remember now, saying, oh yeah, you know, I feel particularly cheated because I was there and you were showing me around. It's like, that's on you, mate. It's Like, it's a nice way of getting away from responsibility for the situation, but no, you were there and you were part of the problem essentially now. So I think that it's difficult to, you know, be angry at athletes winning things from Russia, because Russia, like China, is a factory of Olympians, you know, like people start training very young and they put a lot of effort into it. And I feel sad for them that they're being penalized for it, even if they are doping, they're part of the system, I guess. And we are being sort of sorry there that everyone is doping anyway, and they've just been found out. But I think that people that should be penalized are people from the Olympics committee that were there. And we're like, this is totally fine. Nothing wrong here. I can't see any problems.
Well, for not looking close enough, or for just assuming that everything's okay.
Yeah, that is their job, to go there to check if everything's okay. You know, so why should an Olympian 5 years on now give up his gold medal? If that will happen to me, because you know, here's my collection of gold medals under my bed. I'd be like, no, mate, like, I'm keeping my gold medal. I'm not giving it back to you. Are you crazy? I've been only training every single day of my life since I was 5, probably, in Siberia. Piss off. It's like, this lady from France was there and she said it was okay.
I see. There was some, this article that I read that said that some athletes were doped against their knowledge. Like, apparently some of them claim that they were never doped, but they were like kind of slipped the drugs without them knowing, without their knowledge. Like, that's, I mean, for them, I feel sorry for sure. Apparently there's like some like weightlifters and stuff, they had like no knowledge of it happening possibly, but yeah. Lastly, I thought the credits was really good. Like, I love the burning feathers, obviously tying in with the Icarus theme. And I thought that was really, like, stylized. I thought that was really cool. And then at the end of the credits, it says, "This film is dedicated to whistleblowers who seek the truth over consequences and to clean athletes everywhere who choose to play by the rules." I thought... yeah, nice, sentimental thing at the end. So,
well, I think that first of all, it's really nice of you to give so many shout outs to the editors. I'm sure they never get any love ever. So, many kisses for you guys. But equally, I really struggle to see Rodchenkov as a whistleblower, you know, like bleeding heart, sort of doing the right thing kind of a guy, because he isn't. I don't think even in what he talks about, he's not pretending to be that. He's trying to create this magical narrative about being brainwashed, blind, believing the cause because of double think. But yeah, I think that putting him in the category of risking his life for the cause is a bit flawed, for sure. It's you know, he's not doing that. He's just trying to get the best outcome of the situation, which makes him even more interesting.
You've gotten to put into witness protection. I wouldn't say, you know, that's going to be, as you said, like, it's going to be a solitary kind of thing. It's going to be, he's without his wife, without his daughter, all that kind of stuff. So, you know, he's not, I don't know. I mean, I do think by him providing all that evidence and him really shining a light on this and like opening this up, and like, obviously it's an Oscar winning documentary, so it's definitely all like put out there, like, you know, it's common knowledge that this stuff happens in sport. And if it's now impossible or even harder to dope, then I think this documentary has achieved its goal overall. Because I imagine after this, they must have upped the processes. I can't imagine it being like, oh, we'll use this building with like one less hole in the wall, you know, to slip the piss through. But It's I think if this makes it harder, for people to dope or for states to dope, then I feel like, it's done its job. And if, athletes can participate knowing that they're participating against people who are on the same level as them, in a fair way, like as in terms of like no dope and stuff, then yeah, I'm all for that. As much as I know you say, like, yeah, this documentary kind of does make Rodchenkov to be out kind of like poor Rodchenkov and stuff. I mean, it doesn't erase the actions that he did in the past, but I think what he did definitely helped things going forward.
I'm a bit more cynical than you.
You're more cynical.
But nice. Yeah. But I completely see your point. But I think that my point is that I don't want anyone's heart to bleed for Rodchenkov, because he knows exactly what he's doing in this situation. And if he wasn't, in the US right now, he'd be in jail, basically, somewhere.
Or cold. Dead. Or definitely. Yeah.
He would have a heart attack.
Or fall out of a hospital window or something. Yeah.
Yeah, he would have a very serious case of COVID, mate. Like,
yeah. Anyway, I think that's it for the podcast today. Thanks for listening. Anything we've referenced, I put it in the show notes. Feel free to subscribe on whatever you're listening to us on. And get in contact by using the email that's in the show notes as well. I'd love to hear your thoughts on this. And yeah, thanks for listening. That's all. Bye.